I would ask if you would to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. It's going to be helpful if you have a Bible in front of you. We're going to work a little bit backwards in parts of this chapter. And at one point we'll reference Luke, and when we go to reference Luke, keep your finger there at Mark chapter 14, because we'll come back. And the title of our lesson this morning is Contrast and Confidences and Overcoming Them. We have a lot of contrast in our confidences. We have confidence in some things much stronger than others. We have confidence in Christ. And sometimes our confidence in Christ is swayed, if you will, by our confidence in the world. Because we have confidence also in some of our human tendencies. And we have to be careful of these things. So we're going to look at a contrast of confidences. We're going to begin in Mark chapter 14, verse 66. Mark chapter 14, verse 66. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." Now we get into this part of the story that most of us know very well. Verse 68, but he denied it. First denial. Saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch and a rooster crowed. First denial. And the servant girl said to him again, verse 69, and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." Verse 70, but he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by Peter said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. Your speech shows it. Your dialect, we know who you are. You can't hide who you are. If you're from the south and you travel much at all, you can't hide anything when you ask for sweet tea. They know where you're from." Verse 70, but he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. Your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man." He began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man, Jesus Christ, whom I've been traveling with for some time now. I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time the rooster crowed. Verse 72. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And then he thought about it and he wept. Peter was overcome. Peter was overcome by our human nature, our human tendencies. Peter was overcome by fear. But it was Christ who was on trial. It was Christ who was on trial for the trial of his life. And certainly if you had been in close companionship with Christ, you certainly had some risks to consider, but it was Christ who was on trial. Consider the contrast between Peter's response to his accusers and Christ's response to his accusers. Remember, Peter's leaning heavily on human nature, and he responds with great fear. And in verse 71, he began to curse and swear. Now let's look at Christ and the contrast and response that he has to his accusers. We'll back up now to Mark chapter 14, verse 55. Verse 55 reads, "Now the chief priest and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none." First consider, it's the chief priest and all the council who sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death. Verse 56, "For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree." Well, these same chief priests and all the council would know that they need to have agreeing testimony, as with the law of Moses. Verse 57, "Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say," verse 58, "I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands." Verse 59, "But not even then did their testimony agree." And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" Verse 61, "But he," Jesus, "kept silent and answered nothing." Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus was quiet, as if he was waiting on the question that he wanted, and he got it. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" All of your versions, if I'm not mistaken, will say the Son of the Blessed, even the King James over here. Is that not right, Barbara? Everybody knew who they were talking about. This was God Most High. "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" It's very clear that they were speaking of the Son of God. And Jesus said, verse 62, if you've got your Bible open and you're on verse 62 and you got anything to scratch in it with, underline, "I am." Jesus said, "I am." I am. There had to be a moment of earth shaking just a little right there. Because "I am" meant a lot to anybody who heard it. Jesus said, "I am." And he goes on to say, "You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." I am the Son of the Most High, the Son of the Blessed, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, verse 62, and said, "What further need do we have of any witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, prophesy. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Verse 61, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Verse 62, Jesus says, I am. I am the Son of the Blessed. I am the Christ. I am filled with righteousness. I am filled with a divine confidence to face all of my false accusers. I am. Remember Peter? Remember Peter? He began to swear and curse because he was relying on the human nature of himself. He swore, he cursed, he denied. Christ simply said, I am. I am. Luke had given us some insight in chapter 22, verse 42. Christ had already prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. See, this was the mindset of Christ. Whatever your will is, God, your will be done. What was the mindset of Peter? To swear and to curse and deny. And the mindset of Christ was, here I am, a humble servant. Whatever your will is, Lord, be it done. While Peter was overcome with the human tendencies, especially fear, Christ was the one that was on trial for his life. And while Peter was overcome with fear, Christ was overcome with righteousness. Overcome with righteousness. Christ was overcome with divine confidence to face his accusers by the divine will of God and say to them, I am. As if to say, I am. Now what you gonna do about it? Let's look a little further at the Luke account, beginning in verse 31, chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Verse 32 of chapter 22. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. He prayed that his faith would not fail and then goes on to say, when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren, because he knew his faith would fail. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Tim ended his Bible study with this topic this morning, verse 32. Look at it closely. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. When you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. We all fall short of the glory of God. Hopefully we learn from our falling. But we're to rebound and return to the Lord. And when we do, we're to take that lesson that we learned in our falling and use it to strengthen the brethren. We need to use the lessons that we learn when we fall to strengthen and encourage others. We need to use the lesson that Peter taught us. We need to use the opportunity from our own failures to strengthen our brethren. It's been said that if an alcoholic wants to recover, he needs to find a recovered alcoholic. Someone who knows what they're going through. We all fall short. We need to return to the Lord. And when we do, we return with the clear message that we're going to serve and strengthen the brethren. We pick on Peter here. It's because we have that imagery of the crow, the rooster. It's embedded in our minds. You can't get it out. So we pick on Peter. Now flip back to Mark. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 43. I told you we was going to work backwards. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 43. And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer, having given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him and lead him away safely." As soon as he had come, verse 45, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Who do you think that was? Amazing, huh? Peter's the one we know who would do something like that. Verse 48, then Jesus answered and said to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily speaking in the temple teaching. You did not seize me, but the scripture must be fulfilled." Verse 50, then they all forsook him and fled. Who forsook Jesus? All. Who was he traveling with? The apostles. We pick on Peter because of the crow. They all left. They all left. So we see this great contrast. We see this contrast of confidences. We see the contrast in Peter where he's relying on his human emotions, which we do. And we see the contrast of Jesus Christ before the high priest and those gathered to accuse him. And he relies on God. We need to rely on God. Jesus simply replied, "I am." Because divine thoughts will overcome earthly thoughts if you'll rely on them. But we're too quick to be like Peter and lean on our earthly thoughts. We need to be busy doing the will of the Father even when it hurts. Want to be more like Christ? Be overcome by the will of the Father. Be overcome by the will of the Father. In all of your life's choices, put first the kingdom of God. Do what God would have you to do. Peter went forth and preached the word. He had denied Christ and it was publicly known. What would most of us do? Curl up and go home and never be seen in the church building again. What did Peter do? he went forth and proclaimed the word. Do not be overcome by your earthly tendencies and your earthly human thoughts. When you serve the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, and the great I Am. If we can help you this morning, come forward now as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? That's power and power.